It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ryan Leaf. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing great. We'll get to the DeBoer press conference and your thoughts on him in just a second. Let's go back to the Apple Cup, how it happened, and you were there on the call from your vantage point. Was it hard to keep your emotions in check as you were calling that for Westwood One?
Yeah, it was incredibly difficult. I didn't think it was going to be so difficult. I called a few Washington State games, but I've never called the Apple Cup, right, the rivalry game, where I disliked the Huskies so, and I was trying to be as unbiased as I could, but Washington from the get-go was awful. They were just terrible, and so I don't know if anybody was listening. They certainly had to think I was a complete homer because, I mean, there just was nothing good to comment on in terms of Washington, what they were doing, and everything good to comment on what Jake Dickert, Brian Smith, Jaden Delora, that whole offense and defense we're doing. So it was difficult, yeah, but it was sure fun to be there. I mean, the two times I've been in Husky Stadium for the Apple Cup in the last 4 years, it's been flooded. The field's been flooded with crimson, and guys have been carried off on their shoulders and flags planted. And it's great. I need to come back every year, I guess.
Yeah, well, what'd you think about Jaden Delora planting that flag there, Ryan?
Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, I love the fact that he's, sounds like he's bought all in because, to keep this thing rolling with what they're doing really well offensively, he's going to be the key guy. He's probably and should be the Pac-12 quarterback, first team Pac-12 quarterback. I don't know if he's going to get that, but he's certainly been the best quarterback down the stretch, in the Pac-12 conference. So I loved it. I loved his confidence. I love the swagger, all of that. It can get him into trouble a little, but more or less, it's more advantageous than it is punitive for sure.
And they've obviously made it a big deal, but over here on this side, they've made it a big deal. DeBoer was asked about it yesterday in his press conference, and understandably so. I mean, if your rival does that to you, it's going to be used against them next year. But I don't know. I think it's that type of play or that type of move has been missing that spice from this rivalry. I like it. I mean, I'm in for it.
So you're telling me that people are pissed because they thought it was disrespectful or something like that?
Of course. Well, Woody, of course. Yeah. I mean, that's been
really?
Been the whole talking point this past few days.
Really?
God, he was asked about it in a press conference yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. What the hell's wrong with people?
Well, you can understand why a fan base would be upset.
I cannot understand that at all. Go out and don't get beat by 27 points, and then you can talk, all right? Just shut up, take the beating, and move on.
Wait. So, Ryan, what if that happened at Martin Stadium after a Husky win? If they planted a purple flag on our logo, you wouldn't care about that?
Well, I would use it next year, but I wouldn't say anything about it. I wouldn't let it know what affected me. I'd use it for my own personal fuel. And guess what? If they went out and beat us 40-13 on our own field, they can do whatever the hell they want to Martin Stadium, in my mind, because that's exactly what they did if they had gone through that process.
Well, not anything. Jim and I will be there. We'll assure that nothing happens next year at Martin Stadium. We'll go down there. We'll be like the CMS, the patrol down there. Get off the field. Don't step on the W. What about we've had you on many times before throughout the whole season, and I think even when we went back months to talk about coaches, when we were actually talking about Washington State, this is long before the whole Jimmy Lake thing, we brought up Kalen DeBoer's name. It was the first list we brought up, and that list had a lot of Mountain West guys on it, and he was at the front of that list. Your thoughts on Kalen DeBoer and the hire there by Washington?
I think it's an incredible hire. I was hoping that Jen Cohen and the administration would do something stupid and go try to make a big splash and completely ruin the program for the next 10 years with a coach that wasn't the right fit. But unfortunately, they they made the real smart decision and went out and got probably the best available guy. He is very similar to what Chris Peterson was in how he carries himself, his demeanor. Looks like you're going to get Jake Haener back to compete against the likes of Sam Heward, a guy that's a lot of confidence, a lot of experience, and he knows Husky Stadium, right? He fought his tail off, probably should have been named the starter over Jacob Eason at the time. And that can make for a very interesting quarterback battle, especially knowing the offense so well as he does. It should be fun in Huskyville there the next year and what they do is under Kalen DeBoer.
What you saw Jake Haener this year, what did you like about him?
Just his veracity, right? I mean, he was fired up all the time. He took big shots. He kept fighting. Probably should have beat Oregon, went down to the Rose Bowl, beat UCLA, almost got them into the Mountain West Championship game. That inexplicable loss at Hawaii the week after the UCLA win was difficult. It's always difficult to go to Hawaii, time difference and all those things. But I just think he's an incredible leader, first off. Fiery, accurate. I think he belonged at Washington all along, right? I said it. What if they had chose to go with Jake Haener in Coach Pete's final year? Would they have been 7-5? And would have Coach Pete said, I'm just going to walk off of this upset with Jimmy Lake, even be in that situation, especially with the fact that they wouldn't have a quarterback really that was solid enough to play in the tenure of Jimmy Lake? I don't know. I mean, that's a big what if he doesn't go and enter the transfer portal after losing, quote, I'm air quoting here, losing the quarterback battle against Jacob Eason simply because Jacob Eason looked the part and Jake Haener didn't.
What would you advise? What would you think would happen to someone like Sam Heward and Dylan Morris if Jake Haener does indeed transfer to Washington? What do you think they should do? What do you think they will do?
Well, what they should do is fight and compete. That's what this should be all about. What they will do is a different story with the transfer portal that exists. Both or one of them could easily say, hey, I'm not going to play next year. This guy's going to be the guy, so I'm going to go find a place where I can play. And I wouldn't begrudge him that either. You know, if you have 4 years to play college football and you may never get to play football again, I want to go someplace and so I can play. So that's exactly what may play out. If I'm Sam Heward, I want to compete, right? I want to get good in this offense and compete and be the guy. Haener's not going to be there much longer, so he could definitely – develop and become a better quarterback after year two. That's fine, but it's all about the personality of these young men and whether or not they're willing to deal with and compete and deal with adversity and overcome it.
It's interesting, Ryan, that you feel like if they'd made the big splash hire like with Matt Campbell that they might have been worse off than what they did going with DeBoer. So you feel that strongly about DeBoer and his leadership?
I do, and I don't think they could have got Matt Campbell. I don't think he's going anywhere, to be honest with you. He's made it pretty clear that he loves where he's at. I thought there was a little hesitancy with this, just the emotionality he had with the seniors on senior day and that final game, that it was kind of like a swan song or a goodbye to the guys, but it was really about how much he cared about those young men and the guys he brought there. And he's that type of person. I think he's a guy that could be happy. I also thought that was Lincoln Riley. I thought he would be happy in Norman the rest of his life, a guy from Moose Shield, Texas. Thought he'd be fit in perfectly there for his entire life. Instead, he's now an L.A. native. So you never know. But this Kalen DeBoer one, I think was, you know, I don't think it's not the best thing for the Cougars. I know that.
Right. We'll see. We got Dickert. We got Dickert Ball introduced officially tomorrow there at 4 o'clock. No, it's a good – I mean, I think all you got to do is watch – both those games against Pac-12 schools this year. I mean, that's a tough team. It was a physical team at times. I mean, it's going to be a little different. I think that's what's going to be interesting to watch is how much different they are. It's not like they didn't run the ball at Fresno State, but that was a pass-heavy football team with Jake Haener. So it's going to be obviously a shift in what they do offensively here for the last several years. And I think that's even going back to Chris Peterson there as well. A couple more things. We're kind of running out of time. What did you make of Lincoln Riley going to USC and how that impacts the conference?
Well, it shocked me like it shocked everybody else, of course, the fact that they could get him. You know, we won't really know the parameters of that contract, having it be a private school, but it had to be significant. It's going to be a culture change, big time for him. Maybe he wants that. Maybe he likes the idea where he can walk down the street and no one will recognize him, where in Norman that just was impossible, right? Being maybe second, third, fourth fiddle in a city will be unusual to him. Now, I didn't overreact like everybody else. I didn't go, oh, USC is back. I think this is an incredibly difficult job. What I did learn pretty quickly is his recruiting prowess, right? He is immediately in the mix and with some of the best and brightest high school football players. That will continue. And I think he can shift it and turn it around quickly. And when USC is good, the Pac-12 is better, which gives more respect from everybody on the outside. That makes sense. A USC win or a USC loss is big deal. And right now it doesn't matter. Like, in fact, Washington State's loss to USC early in the year looks incredibly bad right now in terms of the way people are looking at it. If you're looking at a resume, you know, that loss in the fashion that they did lose that game looks really, really bad now. And you want that to change, and Lincoln Riley can do it. Now, do I think that they can be Pac-12 champs now next year or the year after that? I don't think so. I still think they have a ways to go, especially in the trenches. And he's going to have to go back to his old haunt in the South, East, and in Texas and Oklahoma to get those types of guys. They're just not growing them like they used to here on the West Coast.
One last one real quick for me. Joe Moorhead lost for Oregon. He's going to be introduced as the Akron head coach. How big of a loss is that for them?
Yeah, it's significant, right? Joe Moorhead was a difference maker in terms of, I mean, he got this team with Anthony Brown at quarterback to 10-2, right? I don't know if you watched that Michigan game, but Jim Harbaugh and that offensive scheme was out of the playbook of Joe Moorhead. Right. They did almost exactly what Moorhead and Oregon did against Ohio State. The game looked almost identical in terms of how it went down. And Mario Cristobal is going to have to go out and spend some money, right, on another offensive coordinator. I mean, they're willing to do that. I understand it. So I don't know who that's going to be, what that's going to look like, but it will be a big loss for them. And it's gonna have some big shoes to fill for sure.
Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it. We'll chat next week. We'll get more thoughts on the college football playoffs and all that and bowl games. But we appreciate the time.
Yeah, next week's the last week, boys. The family and I are headed to London for the last.
Oh, that's right.
6 weeks. Yeah, last 6 weeks of the NFL season. I'm the NFL analyst over in London through the holidays and
that's
stuff.
That's right. So. I forgot about that. Okay. All right. Well, last week it is. All right. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Ryan.
You bet, buddy.
Bye, guys. Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.